you know, last week we spoke about Hakaras HaTov. Is the phone that's Kolashim?
Yes.
Kolashim? I spoke last week about Hakaras HaTov, right? And I spoke actually this week in Chazak Sunday night in Queens. It was really nice about Hakaras HaTov. And last night I spoke about Hakaras HaTov. And that's my big push right now. My big push is Hakaras HaTov. It was very cute. You know, so we said that every night someone should, they should write in the book something your wife did for you, something Hashem did for you, something you did for you, like you were going to go for those French fries, you knew it wasn't healthy, so you didn't eat them. You know, something that your children, your parents did for you. And that way, your person has this book called Sefer Zichronos, like Achashverosh had. And then it's going to change your life, whatever it is. So this guy wakes up this morning and he tells his wife, I want you to know that last night I cheated on you. I'm not kidding. So she called me up. She told me the story. He said, I cheated on you. She said, I'm very, what are you telling me? What are you talking about? Yeah, you were here last night. What are you talking about? He says, no, I started my book. She said, so? He said, you know, Wallstein said, you should write one nice thing. He said, I wrote two things you did for me today. I was like, okay, if that's his cheating on you, that's fine. No problem, Baruch Hashem. So that's a beautiful thing. That he wrote two things nice about her instead of only one. We're getting there. So I get this text message. I want to read you after last week's shir. So he writes, this is what this man writes. Hakaras HaTov, saw your shir, idea. He says, I have an idea. He wants to open a Koilel Hakaras HaTov. Koilel Hakaras HaTov. All you're going to learn about is Hakaras HaTov. But he wrote something unbelievable that I really never thought of, and he's 100% right. He said, there are approximately 20,000... Jewish Israeli soldiers that died since the inception of the Israeli government since 1948. 20,000 soldiers that died. They get a moment of silence once a year in Eretz Yisrael, Yom HaZikaron, right? They get a moment of silence once a year, he says, which does zero for the Elias Neshama. What is the moment of silence? Just happens to be a moment of saying Tehillim or saying Amen or saying Shema Yisrael, what does the moment of silence do for Neshama? Nothing. He says, and as you pointed out, we are just taking our trips to Israel, the Kotel, the Golan Heights, Hebron, for granted. This summer, I was in the Golan on the occasion of my son putting on his tefillin. Stopped by a memorial bunker with a half track, I think I know where this is, with a heavy machine gun from the 1967 war. There was a plaque on the ground by this half track that said, Sergeant Drimmer, Israeli soldier, stayed on while the vehicle was burning, and he himself was on fire, providing machine gun cover fire to save the life of his chaverim until he died. Mayaka Ugdula Nasa, the Sergeant Drimmer. Remember we said that, Achashverosh said, Mayaka Ugdula, what greatness did they do for the person who saved my life? He said, Mayaka Ugdula Nussel, Sergeant Drimmer. What great thing did we do for this? He died on fire, staying behind, shooting the Arab enemy so that his chaverim could get away. I felt that I was walking and touring and visiting holy rabbis and holy places because of Sergeant Drimmer and his 20,000 dead brothers. I took it on myself to learn 2 to 4 Mishnayos daily, L'zeichen Nishmasai. Suppose there was a Hakaras HaTov Kolel whereby any yeshiva bachar could learn and get a soldier, one of those 20,000 soldiers' names, and learn Hakaras HaTov, that soldier died so that we could be in Eretz Yisrael. Is that amazing? Hakaras HaTov. You go to Eretz Yisrael, there's 20,000 guys died that we could travel and go Yushalayim and eat pizza and all the places that we could go. So he said that you have to focus. There's no question once this starts, and I made some moves towards it this week, Baruch Hashem. Once this movement starts, that you'll realize that. Whoever thought, I mean, until I got this text, whoever thought of Hakaras HaTov, you walk around there, it's a stroll. You know, I mean, it's a stroll. A lot of soldiers died. A lot of people lost their children, you know, in the army for us so that we could get on an LL plane, land, and just drive around and do whatever we want. So there's a lot of interesting things that will come up in your life once you focus and realize the importance of Hakaras HaTov, of appreciation. I call appreciation, it's your new app. What's the abbreviation of appreciation? Is APP. Your new app should be appreciation. Automatic app, not on your phone, in your soul, in your heart. That's it. I got an app. It's called Appreciation. Across the Type. That'll fix Shalom Bias. That'll fix Kibbut of Aim. That'll fix relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That'll fix it all. Anyway, very interesting. There was a concert. Anyone go to that concert? There's a big concert in the Barclays Center. Anyone here go? As Yitzchak Perlman and Helfgott singing. So I want to tell you a story about Yitzchak Perlman. I think it's a very important story for all of us, for everybody in the world. So he had polio. So because he had polio, he can't walk. He's actually in a wheelchair when he plays the violin. Probably one of the best or greatest ever that ever lived violinist is Yitzchak Perlman. And being born with polio, that he had no use of his legs, and was in a wheelchair his whole life, did not stop him from practicing and learning and becoming, you know, who he is today. It's a very famous story with him, which I think is very important to all of us. So he does these concerts, just him on the violin, in the Boston Pops and New York Philharmonic, thousands of people just watching him play his violin. It's a very famous story, but I think it's so important. So he's sitting there in his wheelchair, and he's playing his violin, and he's in the middle of this concerto, whatever it is, and one of the strings on his violin, right in the middle, pops. Now, a guitar string takes some time to change, but a violin string takes even longer. And he's in the middle of this concerto, and his string pops, and he doesn't have a string in his pocket, you know, to put back on the violin. And the whole crowd just, freezes, and he stops playing. The string popped. And they're figuring he's now have to get another violin. They said he closed his eyes for 3 minutes, place is totally quiet, and he's just sitting there with his eyes closed with his violin missing one string. The string's hanging down. And everyone's like, that's the end of the concert, concert over. And after 3 minutes, he starts to play like nobody's business, and he plays minus one string the rest of the concert, the rest of the night. Perfect. You could not tell the difference. So there were a lot of musicians in the crowd and a lot of students of music in the crowd. Somebody had to ask him, how's that possible? How'd you do it? You're missing a string. So they went over to him and they said, how'd you do it? But besides that, what was the 3 minutes for? In other words, you did it, you're a superstar, but what did you do during those 3 minutes? Why'd you stop? What were you thinking about? He said, this is what he said. He said, I went through the whole performance from that point on and figured out how to play those notes using the strings I had left. It took him 3 minutes to prepare for an hour and a half. And he went through the whole thing and he figured, I'm missing a string. How am I going to play my violin with just this amount of strings? And that it should sound the same. So what do we learn from this human being, right? So you have this whole plan. You have this whole plan of life. Exactly how it's going to go. You got your violin. You got your strings. You got this whole plan. What happens in the middle of life? One of the strings pops. It's not exactly how you thought your marriage would be. It's not exactly how you thought your business would be. It's not exactly what the way you planned life, the way you thought life was going to be, right? String pops right in the middle. So some of us just say, okay, that's it. I'm done. Rabbi, I'm done. Didn't go my way. You promised. I fought a shidduch by Pesach. I did it. Didn't go my way. I'm out of here. But a person, and this is a person who has polio and is in a wheelchair, that kind of person who figured out how to become a concert violinist in a wheelchair, He's not a guy that gives up when life throws him a curve. So that kind of person, in the middle of a concerto, I would have panicked. I would have been like, right? In the middle, he loses a string on his violin. There's not that many strings on your violin, right? And he says, that doesn't mean the performance is over. I just kind of had to figure out how to take my four-string sound and put it into three strings. No, you did. So a lesson for us that a person has to realize is sometimes a string pops in the middle of life. Doesn't mean get up and get off stage. Don't give up life. Don't start doing drugs. Don't give up. Don't Don't get depressed. Don't get up and get off stage. You just have to sit there for a couple of minutes and figure, okay, I got to move it around. I got to change it a little bit. But I can actually get to the final, you know, to the end, to where I need to get, with a little bit less, with a little bit different. And I just was like, I wanted really to hear him play. But I don't know what was going on that night. I couldn't go to hear him. But to hear somebody like that, who's sitting in a wheelchair and became this famous violinist, for me it's a very, very big chizik. I heard it was mamish heavenly. Helfgott and him together was amazing. But the lesson to learn from him is so huge, because we always have these plans and they don't always go right. So what? So go figure it out how to, you know, figure out the alternative plan. There's an alternative route. You know, even on your GPS, there's always an alternative route. There's like four routes to pick from. So the first route is the best route, is the shortest route, but there could be a detour. You can't give up, just pocket the detour and, you know, and give up. You got to figure out how to get around it. So I just thought that was a very big chizuk. Okay, so we are approaching the month of Nisan, this Shabbos. Bezrat Hashem, we are going to bench Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a very special month. We fast in that month, and Chas Shalom is the funeral. There's no eulogy. It's a very, very holy month, right? How do we know it's a holy month? What is this month called? Anyone here know?
No.
I think it's this week, this Shabbos, is Pasht HaChodesh.
Yeah,
right? HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. This is the month that is for you. That's what it's called, Lochem. This month is for you. Now, if you take the word Lochem and you play with the letters, Lamed, Chaf, Mem, what do you get? Melech. Same letters as Melech, Lochem, right? Lamed Chaf Mem is the same Isis as Melech. That it tells us that the month of Nisan, that's why it's called the Chodesh Lochem, is the Melech and the head of all the Chodashim in the year. Now, so he says that every month, if you look, could you give me an art school sitter? Is there an art school sitter there? It's got to be Svar, though.
Oh.
No, weekday Svard. You give me weekday Ashkenaz, I don't think it'll be in it, but there's no weekday Svard there? Very interesting, very important to know this. Weekday Svard. Rosh Chodesh. Doesn't have it. Svart? Should have it. The one without the English. Can you get me the one without the English?
Yeah.
Probably in the other room. He went to the other room. We don't want him to know. Otherwise he's going to feel bad. He ran to the other room to get a sitter and we have it, right? So we're going to make believe we don't have it. What? How's he gonna find out? He's not gonna watch movies. You're the man! Thank you, babes. You are the man. He's the man. He went all the way to the other room. Alright. So Hashem's name has 12 different ways that it's spelled. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Hei Hei Vav. Yud, Vav, Hey, 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 Vav, Hey, Yud. There's 12 different ways. So when you daven Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, I think Rosh Chodesh is Sunday. Could that be Sunday, Monday?
Tuesday.
What? It's Tuesday? Because I think it's Sunday. It's Tuesday. Okay, makes sense. Anyway, so on Rosh Chodesh, when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, Rosh Chodeshim, when you say Hashem, so depending on what that month is this Tzurufe, the way the letters go. So this past month, which is Adar, it was Hey Hey Yud Vav. Right? It always has those four letters, two Heys, a Yud, and a Vav. Nisan, which is the first month, it's the way it's spelled by us, the way that it's normally spelled, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's when it's in order. In the month of Nisan, when Hashem's name is in the order that we know of Rachamim, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the first month. Tishrei, for instance, that Yosh Hashanah is, it's Vav Hey Yud Hey. But here, it's and the second name, which is Eheyeh, is also mixed up all the time. and on the month of Nisan it's Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Kei Yud Kei. It's everything is in order. Everything is in the way that it's supposed to be. Only in the month of Nisan. So he says, "V'yesh nitein tam ki shneim asa tzrufe havaya, v'kol kol chodesh mei nitzah tzrufe havaya." Every month there's a nitzah. There's a spark of Hashem's name. It's just spelled differently. V'kol chodesh nisan mei Hashem havaya kipshutai. But in the month of Nisan, the name of Rachamim Yud Kei Vav Kei is the way that it's supposed to be spelled. Okay, now he says like this. He says, "V'chem b'chodesh Tishrei, in the month of Tishrei, mispalim ha'mesim al ha'chayim." In the month of Tishrei, we go to the Beis HaKvaros. In the month of Tishrei, right, that the people in the Beis HaKvaros every Rosh Hashanah, every Yom Kippur. So I go to my father's kever, every Yom Kippur, whatever it is, that he should go in front of the Kisei. They should daven for us. They should go in Shemayim in front of Hashem and daven for us that we should have a good year. That's the month of Tishrei, right? The month of Nisan, it's the other way around. We daven for them. That's what it says. In fact, there's a prayer. I don't know if you guys do this, but in the Sfar Shuls, there's Pashas Hanasi, starting Rosh Chodesh on Tuesday, after davening, after Elenu, after everything, they take out a Sefer Torah, right? It's not a reading where you call up a Kohen or a Levi, and they read the Parsha Nasi, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they read the first Nasi, and the second Nasi, and the third Nasi, and the fourth Nasi, and the fifth Nasi, right? And every single day, they read another Nasi. Now he has a prayer here that when you read the Nasi, it's actually in the Archgal Siddur, I believe. I believe in the Parshas Nesiim. There is, I think they have it here. There's a special prayer that we say for the dead. Tishrei, the dead pray for us. Nisan, we pray for them. Let me just see the Parsha at the end here. Parshas Hanasi. No, this is Svard. Where does he have Parshas Hanasi? All the way back. But I know I've seen the prayer here. He has this prayer that you say for the dead after the Parshas Hanasi. Most people don't do this. Oh, Kriyas Hanasi, here it is, on page 469 in the Svart Siddur. Yiratzon l'fanecha Hashem Elokei v'Elokei Avosai. That Shetor HaYoyim, today Hashem should lighten up Chazko HaGadol with His great kindness. Am l'shmasin kadishin. On the holy souls. That are like birds, and that they chirp, whatever that means. It's a whole tefillah. So in Nisan we pray for them, and in Tishrei they pray for us. Okay, he says like this. I want to get to the some wild stuff here. He says like this. You should give money. You should give money for the Elias and the Shema. It says like this. It's Kabbalah, and it's actually a Gemara in Psachim Kuf Yud Beis and in Brachos Lamed Gimel. Machikim and Ashor Shachar, stay away from a black ox, a bull, right? B'chodesh Nisan, stay away from him in the month of Nisan. He's a little cuckoo. Mitam Shasot the Meraki Ben Karnov. Because the Satan is dancing between his horns. Why? Because of Arizal. Ki bimei Nisan, in the month of Nisan, matchilin ha'deshol matzmiuch l'forech bo'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, the plants begin to grow. Shiuchol ha'shol lechol mimeno, that the ox can eat from it. Pretty sad. U'kishayom, today, b'amrasenu rabin, with our many sins, ro'i v'ayom nechshol v'chatom v'psharom, most of the world is sinning. Some people are speaking Lashon Hara and making jokes. Some people have very bad thoughts, unclean thoughts. And some people are doing various sins with their body. And there are more sins than there are good. Ubavorken and Hashem is the Yitzim and Abnei Adam and Maisam. Therefore, when these people die and their souls go out, Nitchim Minachutza Proida Kadisha, they're not allowed in the next world to get across the curtain. There's a curtain into the next world. They're pushed away from that curtain. Yardim Mata, and they're pushed down to earth. Uskurim Bekakar Olam, and these souls are stuck in the ground of the world. This is Gilgal. And when these plants begin to grow from the ground, the souls of these people end up in the plants. Again, they start off, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, they start off in the sand, what's called a thing that has no life, right? And they end up in the plant, and then the animal eats the plant, and they end up eating the eat, and that's how the Gilgal goes. From Daimem, Tzemeach, Techayim, and Medabe. So they're stuck in these plants. Today, Sheyechlim Balechayim. So that live people should be able to eat them. When a human being eats these plants, tomatoes, cucumbers, whatever it is, or the meat of the animal that ate it, Ima Adam HaYukasha, if the person was good, so you fixed that neshama, you made a bracha. Or what you're going to eat, you fixed the neshama that was in it. Shemagelis be'esav. This neshama, this soul, was in a Gilgal, in the grass, of the basar, or in the meat. Umakavan the neshama l'gedusha idei bracha. And you bring that neshama that did all those averas, you bring him to gedusha by making a bracha. V'az haneshama sanidok and yaitim afeilar agandal. These souls that were pushed into the darkness now come to the great lightness. So he says in the Ma'ore Ha'esh, if the neshama is zaycha, so he oilekim adregas biyachad, that the person eats immediately the asev, the tzameach, he doesn't have to end up in the animal that eats it and go through that gilgal, and he right away gets finished with his gilgal. Okay, so he says like this, v'hine teva hashar, the nature of a bull, of an ox, who oichel the sharm have, he eats a lot of green. He has to eat a lot of green. So these neshamos that weren't allowed into the next world, they end up being eaten by this animal. Right? And while they were stuck in the earth, they get more in the earth, they get more bad things from the sitra achra. So the animal who's eating these plants that have these neshamos become very brazen, ugvurso sitra achra, and they become very strong from the dark side. But and therefore he's going to end up damaging someone. Uprat shor shachar, specifically a black shor. Black is not a good sign of a yogal. That's why the Gaon believes that a black cat is bad luck, because anything black, a black dog, a black cat, a black ox. That shachris, that means that the neshama is not light, the neshama is not ar. So he says, therefore, you need to be mispalal al oisa neshama sanidachim. We need to pray for these poor souls that are captured, that are stuck here, and that are stuck in the plants and in animals, that Hashem should take them l'makam haroi limtzal lehem menuchin l'chayna, where they can find peace. V'chot l'chayn, therefore, he says, tzarecha adam l'spal v'chol nishan, we need to daven the whole month of Nisan with special kavana, hameil la'aretz v'la'lorim aleha. We say every morning in Bichas Yaitza, right? Hameil la'aretz v'la'lorim aleha barachim v'tu v'chayim v'chayim yahare, sh'yolei v'kosh bochu barachim v'loisim v'neshamas v'nidachim, that Hashem should put the light on them to bring them up, these neshamas that are stuck. V'hinei lo'i b'chinim ha'satan ragam v'kanav shalashah. He says, why does it say that the satan is dancing between the horns? So let's say he eats these neshamas, the ox, and he's talking a little bit crazy, but what's the lashon that he's dancing in the horns? So he says, interesting, and this is such a lesson. He says, "Kamoisha tanagosh yeshli gaiva bikarbolto." A rooster is about gaiva because he has that, or they call it that crown, right? Where does the satan rest? In a person, in an animal, he rests. When a person is a balgaiva, when you're a big shot, and you think you're something special, and you think you're better than everybody else, it says that a person who's a balgaiva is a raya that he's run by the dark side. There's a famous story with Eliyahu HaNavi where he was walking and there was a dead body of a chamar, and the person that he was walking with said to him, "It stinks over there and there's flies, and let's not go by this carcass of this dead animal." And Eliyahu HaNavi says, "No, let's go by." And they walked by, and he turned to this person, and he said, "Why do you want me to walk by?" He says, "Look at that. You ever see donkey's teeth? Donkey's teeth are very big and white." He said, "The animal's dead, and there's bugs, and there's maggots, and there's flies, but look at his teeth. He has the most beautiful teeth. Focused on his teeth." So they walked by. What do we learn from that? That no matter how bad everything else is, there's always something good about even a dead animal. There's always something good. You can always focus on something good, no matter what. It's part of the Hakaras HaTov. No matter what the person does, right? Balak cursed us and he paid for us to be cursed, but in the end we got benched. So there's always you can always find good in a person. Depends what you're looking for. And you can also find bad in a person. If you're looking for bad, you'll find bad in the biggest person. If you're looking, right? Ain't tzadik shein chash, there was no tzadik that didn't sin. But there's also no Russia that didn't do something good. There's always something good that you can find in a person. So Anobi was trying to teach this person that even in a dead donkey, right, you're looking at the flies and the maggots. I'm looking at his teeth. So the Zohar says that they continued walking, and all of a sudden there was a person walking towards them. Anobi said, "Let's get out of here. Let's go around. Let's go to a different block, to a different street." He says, "I understand. A dead donkey, you have no problem with." He went to a different street. He says, "He smells worse than the donkey." So he said, "What do you mean he smells worse than the donkey? I don't smell anything." He says, "Don't you smell the gaiva?" So Eliyahu HaNavi, who could see spirituality, said, "Gaiva stinks. You don't want to be friends with a big shot. You don't want to work for a big shot, because when a person's a big shot, everyone else is below him." I remember when I was sitting with Rabbi Gamliel, my Rebbe. And this guy came in and he said he wants a divorce. He's married for 10 years. He wants a divorce because she's stupid. That's what he said. She's stupid. He said, "What do you mean?" Rabbi was like, what do you mean? He said, "I want to come home. I want to talk politics with her. She doesn't understand politics. She doesn't understand current events. It's not for me. It's 10 years I'm suffering already. She's a shaita." That's what she said. "She's a shaita. I don't want to be, whatever it is." Rabbi said, "And what are you? You're such a smart person." So he said, you have two people, right? And they're exactly even. So he said, so you want to be bigger than the other person. So it takes work, right? Let's see, it takes work. You want to grow, it takes work. You have to work. Well, let's say you don't want to work. How do you get bigger than the other person? By putting them down. He said, you don't want to work. So he told him, I was sitting there, "You don't want to work, you're Balgaiva. You're Balgaiva. So you don't want to work on yourself to grow. You're taking your wife and you're pushing her down so that you're bigger than her. Not that you're here and you want to grow here. You're talking here, but you're pushing her down so now you're higher than her." He threw him out. He was sitting there. "So you're a bald guy, but I don't talk to bald guy." Big shot. Someone who comes in and says, "My wife's stupid." That's really a bald guy. Who are you? What are you? And you're so smart. You married her. You can't be that smart, right? She's stupid and you married her. What does that make you? She was born that way. You made the choice. So you're worse than she is, right? Depends how you look at things. It always depends how you look at things. He threw him out. I was there. He said, okay. He told me, "I can't talk to a Balgaiva. You can't talk to a Balgaiva. You can't deal with a Balgaiva. Gaiva stinks. First of all, there's no way that a Balgaiva has a curse for Tav. He will never appreciate anything because he has everything coming to him. You know who I am? You know who I am, right? So he has everything coming to him. So he's a Kafui Tav. Because Baruch Hu said, Kafui Tav is afar, is dust, is nothing. He's not even to you. He's nobody. He's nothing. Okay. Let's go on. See, he talks about Gaiva, how terrible Gaiva is. Okay. Now, let's get off the Gilgal a little bit. And let's talk about Pesach. Okay. So he says the following. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about the whole thing of chametz and matzah. So we have a mitzvah right on Pesach to get rid of the chametz. And We only eat matzah, and we have to make sure that there's not one kernel. This is all based in what the Kavayosha starts with. And it's very tied to what I spoke about last week. Remember, I spoke about last week that you have to have a karsa toiv, and that's the ultimate Purim, and we work into Pesach, and that's why they're next to each other. Because Pesach, what are you doing? You're sitting by the Seder, and what are you doing? You're talking about everything that Kosh Baruch Hu did for us. Right? I was in Mitzrayim, like you saved me. Like, that's what we're talking about. So it's all based in Hakaras HaTov. So Lemaisa, if you're an outsider, even if you're an insider, how do we understand this whole thing of Chametz and Matzah? It really doesn't make any logical sense. And what's the connection to it on Pesach specifically? Like, why don't we have you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to have Chametz on Shavuos. Why Pesach? What does it have to do with leaving Mitzrayim or Kriyas Yom Suf or anything to do with Pesach? What does it have to do with it? Okay, so we know the answer is that, right, everybody in this room is very brilliant. If we're not playing with our phone, we definitely are very brilliant, that's for sure. Right, so we know that we eat matzah. Why? Because they left Mitzrayim and they were in a big hurry and it baked on their back, which I always had a question as a kid. You know how it has to be to bake on your back? You have any idea? You ever see those ovens that they bake matzahs in? Those ovens are like 275 degrees. So like, how did that happen exactly? That it baked on their back? But I have a much bigger question. It says that in Mitzrayim, when they ate the Korban Pesach, they ate matzah with it. So one second. If you're telling me that the whole mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach, because they ate matzah when they left Mitzrayim, because they were in a rush, so how come they ate matzah in Mitzrayim with the Korban Pesach? Wanted to eat bread, so they had bread. You guys are 25, 30 years old, learning this all your life?
How did you? First Seder was in Mitzrayim.
What?
First Seder was in Mitzrayim.
So why did they eat matzah? Wanted to eat bread.
You were in a rush. They were in a rush because they had to get out of there as soon as possible.
They had bread for the day before. Went to eat bread. Before they went anywhere. They ate bread every day. What do you mean? Did they eat matzah every day? So they had a mitzvah that if you look at it, they had a mitzvah to eat matzah that day. What's up with this matzah business? No, eat bread until you leave. Then you have bread. You're right. And why didn't they bake some? Why didn't they bake bagels and bread and put it in their backpacks? Why did they leave just with dough? So you're saying, give me a chumash. So you're saying that they always ate matzah? They never ate bread? Well, they said when they left Mitzrayim, let's go back to Mitzrayim, let's go back and eat our bread that we used to eat. And they had pickles, watermelon, right? They said, let's go. Let's take a look at the mitzvah. Let's take a look at the mitzvah of matzah in Parshas Bo. I'm asking you a good question, no? The reason you eat matzah is because they left in a rush, and it's in memory of that, so that how come they had to eat matzah with the Korban Pesach? They didn't leave yet. There was no memory. There was no rush at that point. And if you look at the mitzvah...
And they got the mitzvah before they actually went to the church.
No, they actually ate the matzah.
Was the name for bread matzah back then?
No. Oh, here, listen. Here's the mitzvah. Lachem and Adam, take the blood, from the Korban Pesach, put it on the top of the door and the mezuzahs. Here's the mitzvah, right? Pashat Bo. They didn't go anywhere yet. Eat the meat that night. Make sure it's roasted. Umatzois, Amraimim Yachlu. So Marar, they had a bitter, right? They were slaves. So I understand why they got that commandment to eat the Korban Pesach. Hashem passed over your doors, right? He's going to pass over your doors, and Marar because you're having a miserable life. But they didn't leave Mitzrayim yet. Where's this matzah business coming? All right? Did they have the mitzvah not to have chametz in their house? I don't think so. No, I'm going to give you the answer. Don't worry. I'll give you the answer. I'm not going to leave you the question. Listen carefully and carefully, guys. In the mitzvah of Mitzrayim, Pasuk Yud Zayin, you shall safeguard the matzahs, for on this day I will have taken your legions out of the land of Egypt. You shall observe this day for each generation eternal decree. Looks like it was a mitzvah of matzah, had nothing to do with baking on their back, but the mitzvah of matzah in Mitzrayim, not our mitzvah of matzah, in Mitzrayim was because today I'm going to take you out of the land of Mitzrayim, and you should keep this day forever. You should eat matzos. So it seems like that the matzos that we eat is in memory of this day. And they got a new mitzvah. For 7 days, you're not allowed to find any chametz in your hands. They didn't have that mitzvah in Mitzrayim. They didn't have that mitzvah in Mitzrayim. We got that mitzvah. What? Why do you think they had no chametz? Okay, now listen to this. A little bit further, right? The Mitzrayim said, get out of here before we all die. Now this was not the matzahs that they ate. They had dough. And they took the nation took the dough before it became leavened, and they put up these leftovers of this dough in their garments on their shoulders, and they left. Let's see what Rashi says. Lamed Dalid. Hamitzriim lo yinichum l'sharis pidei chimutz. Mitzriim didn't let it rest until it became chametz. So that's what happened, right? But l'maisa, the mitzvah of eating matzah was given to them. They ate already that night before they left. So the leftover dough, taka, when they went out, it baked on their back. But they had a mitzvah of matzah in Mitzrayim. It can't be in the memory of the dough that they carried and they baked on their back. It happened before then. So what's going on over here? So he says,
maybe it's because
Avraham Avinu only did it because later on it became a yomtov for us, just the opposite way around. Okay, so listen to, I'm going to tell you why.
It was so low at such a high level of Tumah, Hashem had to give them a mitzvah in order for them to get a reason for him to take them out. And once he took them out, now they have a reason. But he had to give them a mitzvah before. They needed a schus to be taken out.
They had a mitzvah.
So they had Korban Pesach. They had Mara.
The Korban Pesach
was because Hashem said, I'm going to pass over I'm going to destroy the Mitzrayim, but I'm going to pass over your doors. Mara, we understood that was better. Let's see what the Kaveh Yashar says. So he says the following. Ushematim es ha-matzis. It says you should watch the matzis. That's what it says in the Pasuk. You should watch. Doesn't say, eating is a separate thing. You should watch the matzahs. Roy Lisbonen, he says, we got to think about this. Why is there a lashon of watching over here, right? When you tell someone to watch something, you're scared someone's going to steal it. No one's stealing matzah. Well, today at the price, maybe they would, but in those days it was not expensive, right? They list him, or you got nov him, because we're scared of robbers. He said, we weren't scared of anyone stealing. We were going out of Mitzrayim with very great miracles. And Hashem already had destroyed the Tsar, the angel in Shemayim of the Mitzrayim. So we weren't worried about that, right? So he says, but what happened was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah, Azaras Achila Matzah, to keep the Sitra Achra, the dark side, and all the Makatrigim to stay like a mezuzah, right? He says like this. He said the Isa, the dough of the matzah. Anyone here know what it's called?
No.
Chametz. Anyone know another word for chametz? Sa'ar Shebi Isa, it's called. Sa'ar is the yeast, the sourness that's in the bread. The Zayar calls it that. The Arizal calls it that. It's called by everybody. It's called the yeast of the flour. Sa'ar, the sourdough, right, should be Issa. That's in the, what do you call when you make a, when you make bread? It's a dough, no, but it's a, when you make that, when you have that big, there's a very fancy English word for it. You need the dough. You have this big thing of dough, right? Issa is the dough, the batch, right? They call it a batch? A batch of dough. A batch? A V or a B?
B.
It's a V as in victory or a B? B as in boy. B as in boy, right? Right, okay. So, he says, anytime it says in the Torah the word chametz, it's talking about the Sitra Achra and his wife. I'm not going to mention her name, right? And therefore, the and this is a beautiful word that I heard. It's not here. I don't think I saw it here. It's such a beautiful word. How do you keep something from becoming chametz? If you ever went to a matzah factory, you'll see that the minute the flour and the water touch each other, right, they start to work on it. There's a guy that's kneading it very fast. They knead it, they work fast. He finishes working it. The guy takes the big batch of dough, and then he rolls it into like, it looks like a long gefilte fish, and they cut it into little pieces, and they give it to all the women in little pieces, and they roll it. It from when the water touches the flour, doesn't stop for 1 second. Not for 1 second, till it's a matzah, if you watch them. And the guy makes the holes, gets onto the pole, pulls into the fire. Not for 1 second does it stop. Chametz represents the Sitra Achra, the Satan, the Mekatrig, his wife, the whole dark side is Chametz. Matzah, right, represents the good side. By the way, good and bad is so close to each other that if you take the word Chametz and you take the word Matzah, what's the difference? They both have a mem. Chametz and Matzah have a mem. They both have Chametz has a what's it called? Is a ches and a mem and a tzaddik. Matzah is a mem and a tzaddik. So both of them have the mem and the tzaddik. Chametz and matzah. What's the difference? The hay from matzah and the ches from chametz. What's the difference between a ches and a hay? Teeny, right? A ches is like this. A hay has a teeny little break, right? Teeny little break between that line and the other line. A person has to know that. This is a very close. It's like hate and love. They're very, very close to each other. And this is what I heard. It's a beautiful part. What's the difference between chametz and matzah? So I, you know, the Shabbos after Pesach is a very big skula to make shlissel challah. Shlissel challah is you bake your challah and you, the real way they used to do it is the challah was in the shape of a key. But today most people don't do that. They take a key, you put aluminum foil around it, and you stick it into the challah. Mm-hmm. And then you bake the challah. And everybody does shlissel challah. So my wife doesn't usually bake challah. And we remembered one Friday morning, oh my gosh, we have to bake shlissel challah. Of course, it's a school. So she sent me to go. I went to Gottmart, and Kinneret Kosher has pre-made challahs. So, you know, our challah is this big. So, what? No. You have to put the key. It's dough, right? You just stick the key in and you put it into the oven. Well, you have to let it grow, but I didn't know that. So I never baked the challah. I never saw anyone. My mother didn't bake challah. I never saw anyone bake challah, right? So I go to Glatmart, and I say, where are the challahs? Everybody's buying these challahs, pre-made challahs. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's in the freezer. We have more than enough. Don't worry. It's not sold out. Okay. I go to the freezer. Get this little box, this big, a little teeny box, right? Canary kosher. I'm like, I go back to the... To the manager, I'm like, no, I'm not looking for a bilkula. I'm not looking for a bilkula. I want to buy, I have a bunch of kids at home. I need a challah. He goes, they're in the freezer. I'm like, okay. I go back to the freezer. It's a little teeny box. I come back to him. I'm like, you're sold out. You don't have bilkula. He says, they don't make bilkula. What are you talking about? I'm like, well, you come with me. I'm telling you, you're sold out. He comes to me. He goes, what are you talking about? I got 500 of them in there. What are you talking about? I'm like, they're teeny. They're bilkula. He starts laughing. Right? He says, just take it home. So I take it home. I don't know this stuff, right? My wife takes it out. You put some egg on it, whatever you have to put on it. And she covers it with a towel. I'm like, what is it, cold? Like, what are you doing? Like, you know? She said, you never saw anyone bake a challah? I'm like, no. Whatever. So you put the challah and you wait like 2-3 hours. and the thing grows, right? And after 3 hours, the towel is not big enough anymore. The challah is like sticking out of both ends. That's how it works with challah. You let it sit, and it grows and it grows and it grows because there's yeast in it, and that's how it grows. I didn't know that. So I'm a little box. I'm thinking it's a bilkula. You know, that's what you see is what you get. I don't know anything about challah. So the Kavi Yashin, all this form they talk about, this is so true, that a person who just sits there and doesn't work on himself all the time, in the end, right, Isa, that's called Chametz, is the Isa Shebechal, in the end, you'll belong to the Satan. And you know that any person who's bored, the kids that I deal with, right, that they're hanging out and they're chilling, a person who chills to 4 o'clock in the morning, chilling is not the lack of doing anything. Chilling is an action of doing nothing. It's a very interesting thing. In other words, you ask a kid, so you chilled to like, yeah, Rabbi, I was chilling from like 11 o'clock till the sun came up. I'm like, you weren't doing anything? You had nothing to do a whole night? No, I was doing something, man. I'm like, so what were you doing? I was chilling. I'm like, but that's not doing anything. He says, no, I was doing nothing. I'm like, isn't that the lack of doing anything? It's like, no. It's like you stand on the corner and you specifically do nothing till the sun rises. That's chilling. In other words, it's a mental decision, right? I'm not going to do anything. So, you know, like if someone comes by and is like, hey, can you help me change the tire? No, I'm chilling. I'm not doing anything. It's not the lack of having anything to do. It's an action. That's what's called I'm chilling. It's not right. So a person who does nothing, right, who's bored, all the kids that I deal with that are on drugs, kids that are on drugs or kids that are hurting themselves, whatever it comes from, and today in our generation, by us, we didn't get bored because we didn't live in a very fast generation. Things happen slow. Here, I need the phone number right now, Google, I need this, everything, I need a burger, tonight I was in Muncie, so I went out to eat. I ordered my steak sandwich in 2 minutes. Number 108, number 158, steak sandwich. That's it. 1, 2, 3. It's a fast food place that I went to. Right, stuff was just flying out. Whatever you need, you know, what's it called? Where you shave that meat down? Whatever it's called. Shawarma. 1, 2, 3. He had like 10 plates of shawarma. This whole table, 10 people. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're gonna have to wait so long. Took 5 seconds. We're used to that. You're not going to sit there for an hour, like in a good restaurant, you know, waiting for your food. Everything's fast. Everything is fast. Today, I go to the airport. They don't even bring their passport or anything. They have this app on their phone that they put down on the thing, and you go through, like, I'm like, my phone don't have no app, you know, because it's one of these little foldable phones, whatever it is. They don't even want to take out their ID. They just want to put their app on it, you know, and the light goes on. It's crazy. Nobody has time for nothing. Everything has to happen immediately and right away. And I was telling these people that I found an airline, whatever. I'm not going to tell you how close these people are to me and my family, but whatever. And I had a cheap seat, and they're like, do they have TV screens like JetBlue? I'm like, no, this airline, you know, doesn't have TV screens. So what are they going to do for 2.5 hours? Guys, when I flew all my life to Israel as a kid, there were no TV screens. We sat there, first of all, for 6 hours, we threw up. But little teeny planes, what TV screens? Right? You gotta have a TV screen for 2.5 hours going to Florida. You gotta have your face on a screen all the time. Now the planes advertise, their planes advertise, they fly. My friends go to China for business, and like, you don't understand, it's 24 hours with no phone, with no internet, right? It's either they love it or they go out of their minds because they don't know what it means to live by themselves without some machine in front of them. Now, all the airlines, internet, straight up, on the plane. You don't have to be disconnected for 2 seconds. You can be up all night for 24 hours. And imagine you're flying to China, so you could talk to your friends here, there, everywhere. In Israel, America, you don't have to sleep for 1 second. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to think about who you are, about your family, about nothing. You can just bug out electronically for 24 hours. So we're very used to this. We're very used to this. So we get very bored. It's really true. Kids get bored today much faster than you know. Next toy. We had Tinker Toys It took us, you know, we could play with one Tinker Toy for a whole day. Today, I want a game. I need another game. I need another game. I need my Game Boy in on the Game Boy. I was on the plane the other day, and these kids were sitting on the plane, and they were, like, Game Boying and passing and this game and that game. And I got it. Everything has to be happening all the time, all the time. Because boredom, the minute they get bored, it's destruction. And a lot of the crime, a lot of the crime that happens in the world happens because people are bored. So that's chametz. That's the challah rising on its own. You leave the challah alone, turns into a monster. So matzah is the opposite. Matzah, which is called the bread of Shemayim, the heavenly bread, that's what it's called. Something de menusa, I forgot the word at the moment, right? It's the, why is that? Because you have to work on it. And you always have to work on it. And you can never leave it alone. And you got to, from the minute that it comes down to this world, the minute the water meets the flower, the minute the neshama, this is how it's brought down in Kabbalah, the minute the neshama meets the guf, you don't let go until the person leaves the world. Same thing with the matzah. The flower hits the water, you don't let go. You're not allowed to let go of it for 1 second. Because if you let go of it for 1 second, it's going to start rising. And rising is chametz. And chametz is a sitra achra. And therefore, you have to work on yourself every day, all the time, growing, connecting. The minute you sit back and you're like, okay, I'm bored, I have nothing to do, that's when the Yetzer Hara shows up with his movies and his filth and his perversion, and you go do crazy things that you would never do. And many times I ask, why'd you do this? Like, I was bored. I hear that all the time. I was bored. That's chametz. So now that we're learning that chametz is something that rises, so he says the whole thing behind chametz, godless, is gaiva. Chametz represents gaiva, being a big shot. Matzah represents anava, being modest. The reason we eat matzah, there are five different, there are more than five reasons. One of the reasons is that it's like an ani, it's like a poor person. It's called holach ma'anya, poor man's bread. So today it's a joke. Why the poor man's bread? Because at $18 a pound, if you pay for your matzah, you're going to end up being a poor man. But that's not why it's said in the Haggadah. It's called poor man's bread because a poor man's spirits are always down. And matzah never got a chance to rise. And also it's poor man's bread because matzah you break when you eat it. And a poor man is broken. And also it's hard to digest. So poor people used to eat matzah so that they felt full the whole time. Matzah represents modesty. Chametz represents big shot, rising. Start off this little, you know who I am? I'm a big challah. I'm a big fat challah, right? That's what. So for some reason, which Mitzvah will go into deeper next week, for some reason, this period of time, one of the things, the most important thing that we need to do is to make sure that during Pesach, there's no gaiva. There's no gaiva. And since chametz represents gaiva, we have to clean out of the house, which means cleaning out of ourselves, actually, all the gaiva, all the kaychi b'oitzim yadi. You know why I'm rich? Because I know what I'm doing. You know why I'm strong? Because I'm a bodybuilder. It's all about me. It's all about me. And what's the basis of what happens when you have gaiva? When you have gaiva, you're a kafli toiv. You have no appreciation. I did her a favor. I married her. Do you know who I am? I created this company. This is my company. This is my creation. So you work for me. You're nothing. You're nobody. You're lucky. You're lucky. How many times have bosses said that? You're lucky you have a job. Right? No, I'm not lucky I have a job. Hashem wanted me to have a job. It's not your company. You know, there's a famous story at the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim once got up and he said that God, you know, gives parnasa, and that no matter how rich you are, in 1 second, God can take all your money away. So there was a very, very rich banker that was in that shul when the Chofetz Chaim spoke. And he very nicely went over to the Chofetz Chaim after his speech. He said, Rabbi, you're wrong. You're wrong what you said. I have 50 banks in 50 countries. There's no way that all 50 countries can go back. I agree with you. You could lose your money, right? But you can't. I can't lose all my money. 5 countries can go bankrupt. 50 countries can't go bankrupt. 50 banks in 50 countries can't. Rabbi, it can't. It can't happen. So how could you say that I could lose all my money in one moment? It's not true. I could lose some money. I could lose a lot of money. I can't lose all my money. So the Chofetz Chaim looked at him and he said, who says that God has to take your money away from you? In 1 second, God could take you away from your money. If you have a heart attack, you have no more money. So God doesn't have to take the money away from you. In 1 second, he can take you away from the money. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. So who are you? You think you made the money? You think you're rich? One heart attack, one stroke, that's it. You're finished, you're gone. One cell in your body goes off the wrong way in a month or two. Who are you? So that part of us, that's what we're looking into in the month of Nisan. That part of us, we have to totally come to the Seder. There's no chametz in the house. There's no chametz in the person. It's a night of matzah. It's a night of humility. It's a night of appreciation. And this is the godless of what I'm saying. You cannot appreciate me, says Hashem. You cannot come to the Seder and appreciate Yetzias Mitzrayim and that I chose you as my nation if you have one speck, one crumb of gaiva, of a big shot in you. It has to all be cleaned out. If you come as a humble person says, wow, whatever you do for me is great. Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. The Pesach Seder, which we're going to get into, which is based on our Karas HaTov of many, many, many different things, of a lot of different things. You can't come to that Seder. You can't have bread on the table. Bread represents rising. The sourdough that's in the Issa, that cannot be on the table. That cannot be in your house.
So why don't we mix two extremes? We're leaning like a king and eating poor man's bread. Isn't that an extreme in both ways?
No. It's not a very good question. Because who's the true king? The person who has control. The person who's modest. The person who has Hakar Satov. That's the true king. You know, everyone today, you ask a kid, you walk up to a kid and you say, what's freedom? Saying yes or saying no? 99% of the kids that I went over to, take a fifth grader, eighth grader, you guys are going to start thinking, I know what he's looking for, right? I'm not talking about someone's trying to figure out why I'm asking it, right? Yes. Freedom is the ability to say, yeah, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want, right? Yes, that's freedom. Just the opposite. What is the one word that a slave can never say? No. A slave can never say no. If I tell you to do this, you have to do it, I'll kill you. I'm a slave. So the word of freedom, not being a slave, is the ability to say no. So who's a king? A king is a person who's a modest person. A king is a person who can sit and eat matzah and say thank you. That's a king. Not a guy who's sitting there stuffing his face with cake and eating whatever he wants. He has no control. He's a servant to his food. They have Overeaters Anonymous, right? Where you're a servant to your food. You can't say no. You see a French fries? A burger? Slice of pizza? You're stuffing your face. What do you mean? It's a king. No. The guy that says, no, I love you, but I can't eat you because you're not healthy for me. And no to you, and no to you, and no to you. He is a king on himself. He has control. What's a melech? A melech is the one who has control of his servants. In Kabbalah, your servants, you know what your servants are? Who's a person's servants? It's your body. Your body is your servant. Your hand, your foot, other organs of your body, they are your servants. As long as you can control, the neshama can control those parts of the body. You are the king. You're the melech. You're up here. That's where the melech is. Where the person's seichel and the neshama rest. That's called his melech. That's his malchus. Right? When that controls all of this, then it's a king. But when this controls the melech, then the melech is at the bottom underneath your feet. Then you're the servant. So it's just the opposite. It's when you can say no that makes you a king. Not the way we think that it's when you can say yes. It's 100%, you know, say no to drugs, say no to the 100%. That, you know, if you're a gambler and you're able to say no, I'm not gambling anymore, that's when you're a king. You're a servant to your addiction. You're a servant to the addiction. You're an alcoholic. You can't say no to a drink. So you're a king? You're not a king. Just the opposite. You're a slave. You're a slave to the something. If you have to watch a movie and you have to do this, you have to look at things you're not supposed to. And when you can't say no, and you're just like, I can't control myself. I can't control it. Amazing. You're a servant. When you can say, no, I am the king of this body. I am the neshama. I control this body. The body doesn't control me. That's when you're a melech. That's what makes you a melech. Lochem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lochem. This is the month that makes you a melech. And it's very, very hard. You got to come to the Seder. You have to work. So the Torah came up with a physical action. We're going to learn about this. A physical action, because the reason that we're in this world, everybody, is so that we can turn physical actions into spirituality. Otherwise, you could just live up in the other world. We have to come down to this world. You're able to take an apple and make it spiritual. You're able to see lightning and make it spiritual. You're able to have children and make it spiritual. Everything that you can do, you can make it spiritual. That's the greatness of this world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah of vacuum and cleaning the chametz, that by the physical action of cleaning the chametz, because it's a mitzvah to clean and get rid of the chametz, so the physical action now makes my spiritual body. As I'm sucking up that vacuum cleaner, that chametz, I'm sucking up the chametz inside of me. And that's why it's a very big mitzvah that men have to help, and we have to help for Pesach, because really all the physical things we do for Pesach is in turn really fixing us. You're vacuum cleaning your own soul. And at the end of that whole trip, when you sit by the Seder, you're talking on that level of you're a king, and you're leaning like a king, because you are now in control of your chametz. And that taka is malchus. So my bracha to everyone here is that in the next 2 weeks, we should taka become the melech on all the servants, which is all the different parts of our bodies, and be able to sit in mitzvah Hashem by the Pesach table. It says v'atoreseihem b'roishim, with their crowns on their heads. It's very, if you look at the benching, right? What does it say over there? It says that you're sitting with your crown. What kind of court? What are you talking about? What kind of crowns? What is their crowns on Pesach? Crowns on your heads? What does that mean? Tzaddikim with their crowns on their heads. What's the crown? What makes you a king? What makes you a king is the ability to say no. Here you are. You're sitting by a Seder table. You said no to all the chametz, right? You said no to all the bread. You said no to all the cake. You cleaned out your whole house. Now you're ready to say the Haganah, to show HaKadosh HaTov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you broke yourself. You broke your big shot. You broke your gaiva. You broke your se'or shebi'isa. You broke that challah coming from this little box. And wow, look who I became on my own. Without any work. Pesach is work. Working for Pesach. Don't push it off. Clean your cars. Help your wives. Help your mothers. As you do that, you're actually cleaning out your neshama. What?
Right,
and they'll set their crowns on their heads by Nasa Venisha, but this is a different crown. This is a crown. He asked a very good question. You're leaning, you're dipping, you know, what's going on over here? Right, the mara, which we'll talk about, the bitterness, is work. It's all work. The whole Seder table, we're going to learn this year, it's all work. Matzah is work. Challah is no work. Challah, you just leave it, and it becomes whatever it becomes. Matzah doesn't stop. You got to beat it. You got to cut it. You got to mix it. You got to put holes in it. You're really whacking it up. You know, you're making holes in it. If you look at it, right, as a neshama, right, you're mixing it up, and then you got to roll it, and you got to make holes in it, and you got to stick it into a fire. It, like, goes through, like, the Abba Mises Bezdin, and the Skila, Herek, Chenek, right? And then you finally, at the end of it, you get that matzah. It's a work in progress. And it says you're not supposed to leave it alone. You're not supposed to leave it alone. You leave it alone, it starts to rise. The minute you leave it alone, it starts to rise. And that's why it says, when a person works on themselves, that there's no such thing as a Jew staying in the same place. You're either going up or you're going down. Because once you stay in the same place, right, you're going to start, the sa'or is going to start growing and growing and growing, and you're going to get bored, and you're going to start, you're going to have to fill that boredom with doing things. So a person has to always continuously work on himself. Never think, now I'm where I want to be. There's no such thing. You have to keep growing, and you have to keep growing. Ayulim v'yardim, he saw. Yaakov Avinu saw, they're going up, they're going down. But it was an interesting thing, and I'll end with this. If you look at the pasuk, he looked at life. It was the ladder of life. He went to sleep. He had a dream, right? So does it say anywhere in his dream, that there was a malach standing still. Nope. He didn't say, there are malachim going up, there are malachim going down, and there's some malachim standing on the steps, checking it out, you know, checking out the world. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as standing still. You're either going up or you're going down. There's no such thing. He had a dream about life. There's no malach, there's no life where you're standing still. Once you stand still, then you're going to go down. You can't stand still. A Jew has to continuously work on himself. That's matzah. Shabbat shalom, brach, mishu, obi, zaych, akron, Pesach, the Beis HaMikdash, from Harib, Yemenu, Amen.